Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a seven-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, and today's message is specifically entitled The Thirst, based off of Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and John chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. So let us dive into the Word today. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. "Give us water to drink," they demanded. "Quiet," Moses replied. "Why are you complaining against me, and why are you testing the Lord?" But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They're ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses,
"Walk out in front of the people. Take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink."
So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Massah, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord here with us or not?" And John chapter 4, verse 5 through 15. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life."
"Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water."
Amen. Our lives in this monotonous world leave us so very thirsty for more. More meaning, more purpose, more hope, more healing, more wholeness, and more love. Yet no matter how hard we try, there simply does not seem to be an end to the thirst. Still, the truth remains that the thirst is actually a gift from God, pointing us to a life-giving water. Growing up, I was told by my teachers, by movies, by society in general, that I could be anything I wanted to be, if I just put my mind and effort toward it. At first, I fully believed that. I think we all somewhat believe that. And I tried so hard to be smart, to be liked, to be popular, to be athletic, desired and accepted. Yet no matter how hard I tried, I simply was slow in learning math, and I still don't have a great grasp of it outside of the basics. I tried to have friends and fit in with the popular kids, but I ended up unpopular, bullied, and had few friends. I tried to be athletic and join several sports, but no matter how hard I tried, I was never the star athlete, and that often ended up in more bullying. Most kids were dating, yet no matter how hard I tried, no one seemed to want to go out with me. Overall, I learned that not only was I generally not accepted by my peers, I could not really even accept myself. And the harder I tried, the more lost, empty, unpopular, unaccepted, and useless I felt. My teenage years sadly reflected that reality. Now, we've all been told this, right? That we can be anything we want to be if we put our minds to it. What's more, we all take it upon ourselves to do just that. We all take it upon ourselves to fit in with society and do what we got to do to carve a name out for ourselves. Beyond that, it's also true that most of us never fully reach our highest hopes and aspirations. Most of us, if we're honest, come to realize that we cannot be anything we want to be, no matter how hard we try. All of us come away thirsting for more, no matter what we have or have not achieved. In today's scripture readings, we have a tale of two paths. The first one is a wilderness path that twists and turns endlessly. This first road is a 40-year exodus from one peril to the next with no end in sight. In today's stop along this particular path, we come across the Israelites who are dying of thirst and looking toward Moses for help. Reluctantly, Moses struck a rock and water gushed out of it. Sure, God produced this miracle, but the people looked to Moses, not God. And guess what? It wasn't long before they were wandering and thirsty again. The second path is another wilderness path that converged at a small Samaritan village well. There, a woman came in the middle of the day to fetch water. An uncommon time, by the way, to fetch water, because most of the village women would come early in the day and later in the evening to avoid the heat of the midday sun. This woman, however, came at the hottest time, probably to avoid others. She came at the well to fetch water, but instead she comes across Jesus. She came to the well looking to get away from people, and yet she found a person who drew her to himself and offered her something far more than the water she was looking for. No longer focused on her own tasks or abilities, she accepted the living water Jesus offered her and was forever changed. Instead of bringing regular water home for her household, she invited her entire village to receive the same living water. She invited the same people she was originally trying to avoid. Friends, which road does your life fit into? Perhaps you find yourself on what seems like an endless journey of trying to find meaning, purpose, hope, healing, and wholeness on your own. Perhaps you thirst for more, but the thirst never seems to be quenched, no matter what you do. The question to ask is this: what is your source of water?
What is your source of water? Is it your own efforts or the efforts of others? Or is it Jesus the Christ, from whom flows living, unquenchable water? Let us listen now to what Denny has to share regarding his time in the wilderness and how this thirst was quenched.
I was in my 20s. I was just starting out in life, trying to build a career. I was on my own, living away from home for the first time. And I had gone to college and gotten a degree in a profession. And I found a job in that field. And I found out I wasn't suited for it. And I failed at this endeavor. And it was the first and only job I was ever fired from. But it was kind of a devastating experience for me at the time. And I was really, at that time, kind of all alone. All my college friends were not in the area. I was close to my cousins. I'm an only child, and I was close to my cousins. They had all moved away from the area. And I was kind of isolated. But in the midst of all this turmoil and stress at the time, I had my church. And in my church, I became a member of a small group. And that was so important to me. And it was in that small group that I first accepted Jesus as my Savior. And all my life, small groups have been very important to me. I think at that time I stepped from the prevenient grace, I opened the door to justifying grace in Wesleyan thought. And it was all my life, whatever church fellowship I'm in, I've always searched out small groups, which are different than just a Bible study. And it's a support group, and it's always been very precious to me. And my thought came to another wilderness experience that Alice and I went through. When I was in my late 50s, I was offered a transfer to a different part of the world. And it was one of those offers where if I hadn't accepted it, I would have lost my job. So we had to move from the foothills and lakes of Sussex County to the urban sprawl of Dallas. And it was just an entirely different world. Outside of DFW Airport, there are 32 lanes of traffic. There's just urban sprawl as far as the eye could see. And I'm a hiker and I like to kayak, and there's none of that down there in Texas. I miss that so much. But in the midst of that, we had our church again. We were members of Trinity United Methodist Church in Denton. And the highlight of our week was always choir practice. And singing is such an important part of my faith. It's where God reaches me. It means more to me than even prayer or Bible study. My 20s, when I was going through that turmoil, and it's a very strange experience, but I came home and I felt the presence of not of the Holy Spirit, but of Jesus, and I felt like He put His arms around me. It was a very intense experience, and I was going through, you know, some tough times then. Through people and music, I think, primarily. People, like I've mentioned, in the small groups or in a church fellowship, it means a lot to us. And music is everything to me. I think through the words, through sermons, through people, Bible study, they're all components. But to me, primarily, it's fellowship. And you can see Jesus in other people. That's helpful. And it's just a support system.
Sisters and brothers, like Denny, we all find ourselves on a path in the wilderness. In fact, the season of Lent is meant to be just that. It's a wilderness journey in which we confront who we are without Christ so that we might seek out who we are in Christ. I found Jesus Christ, who has been my source of life-giving water, who led me out of the wilderness and into the promised land, which isn't without its sets of challenges, but I never find myself lacking, because Jesus is my Lord. Denny found his way out of the wilderness because his source, his guide, was Jesus Christ. Like Denny, like myself, we have to learn that looking toward others or our own abilities will get us nowhere. It will leave us wandering out in the wilderness, thirsting for more, always thirsting for more, endlessly thirsting for more. We are being challenged today to head to the true source of living water, our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you do that? By growing in a relationship with Him, by immersing yourself in Scripture, attending worship, joining small groups, serving others in ministry, and engaging in our larger community as witnesses to the well of life-giving water, which is Jesus Christ. By Easter Sunday, if you follow these spiritual practices, I promise you will see how such practices guide us to a real encounter with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.